God.
Well, you know, I know that we're a little slow in the house of God this morning, and that's understandable. After all, we're all mourning a death, and that's always a time of grief and sorrow when somebody, when a member of our family dies, and we have every right to mourn. And, you know, ever since he died, many people have been mourning his death. But I want to say to you this morning, there's no need of mourning his death. He got up. Now you'll catch what I'm talking about here after a while. We come to church like we're mourning the death of Christ, rather than rejoicing in the resurrection. We certainly ought to have, we ought to be here rejoicing in what Christ has done for you and I. Thank him so, so much. He's given us life, eternal and everlasting. I want to bless his wonderful name. Amen. Eternal life on his part and everlasting on ours. And if you don't understand that, but now I'll have to explain it to you one of these days when I've got more time. Amen. All right. I'm going to ask you to turn your Bible this morning to the book of Exodus, if you would please. To the book of Exodus. And if you'd turn to chapter number 13. Chapter number 13 in the book of Exodus this morning. And I want to begin reading with verse number 20. Of chapter 13 of the book of Exodus. The Bible said, "And they took their journey from Succoth and encamped in Etham in the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night, from before the people. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel." I want to say, I looked these words up in a book that was given to me, and I'm going to try to pronounce their words correctly, but if I don't, please forgive me. And it says, "And spake unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before," well, let me get it here, "between Migdol and the sea over against Baal Zephon, before it shall ye camp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, They are entangled in the land. The wilderness hath shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them. And I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord." And they did so. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled. And the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people. And they said, "Why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us?" And he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. And he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with a high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh. And his horsemen and his army overtook them in camping by the sea beside Pihorahath before Baal Zephon." That's all I'm going to read this morning. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege to be in church, to be with your people, to be in your divine presence. And I pray, Lord, that you'd pass by this way today. Lord, that you'd breathe upon us one more time. I pray that you'd grace us with your divine presence. Unworthy as we are, and yet we plead the blood and pray for grace and ask for divine help this morning for thy people Lord, for your preacher, that I might be filled with your Spirit, anointed by the Holy Ghost, that I might preach the Word of God. I pray you'll grant liberty in the house of God. I pray, Lord, for power. I ask you to rescue the perishing and care for the dying. Revive the people of God and get glory unto yourself. And Father, we'll thank you for all that is done, for we ask it in Jesus' name. For his sake we pray. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Our text verse for the morning hour is found in verse number 9. And here, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, Moses writing, looking back on this event and writing about it, he said, "But the Egyptians pursued after them, and all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them encamping by the sea beside Pi-Hahiroth before Baal-Zephon." And so I want to keep reading there for some reason. It don't seem right to stop there, but that is where I'm going to pause this morning. Now, I want to assure you that I have not simply passed over the previous scriptures or chapters in the book of Exodus. I have all the intention in the world of going back and picking up where we left off on our last session in the life of Moses. But I felt so led of God to preach on this passage. A couple of weeks ago, the Lord laid this upon my heart. And I want to take that verse of Scripture where it said, "But the Egyptians pursued after them." The Egyptians pursued after them. And I want to preach on this thought for a little while this morning. Following a fool into hell. Following a fool into hell. And I believe that's exactly what we find in this passage of Scripture. And I want to preach on it. Like I said, I don't want you to get the idea that I'm going to pass over our previous chapters. I am going back to them. But I do want to preach on this morning. But looking back over this portion of Scripture that precedes this, let me remind you that Moses has went down into the land of Israel. He's went there on a specific mission under the authority of God. He is God's ambassador. And by the way, when you're God's ambassador, you have all of the power and the authority of God behind you. Someone that would visit a foreign country from America and sent by our president, they have all the power of the president and our country behind them. And so Moses had that power, and he goes down to deliver the nation of Israel. It's there that he encounters Pharaoh. And he encounters Pharaoh's servants. It's there that all of the mighty wonders of God displayed to the people of Egypt. We find there the many plagues that God brought in. And I want to say to you right here at this point that those people in the account that I just read, following that account, they followed Pharaoh into the sea, the Red Sea, and they give their lives. They died there in that sea. They had been there in the land of Egypt. They had seen the water turned into blood. They had watched as the staff of Aaron had turned into a snake and then swallowed up the snakes of the sorcerers of the nation of Egypt. They were there when the flies and the lice and the frogs were sent into the land. They were there when the hail fell from heaven and lightning bolts struck the ground. And yes, they were even there and witnessed the death of the firstborn of all of Egypt. And yet they followed Pharaoh into the Red Sea where their lives perished, where they died. They followed a fool into that sea, and unfortunately, into their death. Now, you know, like I put in our bulletin this morning, when I was a little boy, we played a game called Follow the Leader. And we had fun in doing that. And wherever the leader went, that's where we had to go. But as I grew up into a young man, I soon realized that following the wrong person, you could wind up in the wrong place. And these men, these servants, these soldiers of the king of Egypt, followed him, but one thing, they followed the wrong man. And they followed him into their death. They followed him really into worse than that. And in so many words, I really believe I can say this morning that they followed a fool into hell. And ladies and gentlemen, I want to say to you, and by the way, Pharaoh here is a type of the devil. And a man that will follow Satan is following a fool that will lead them ultimately to the realm of the damned, to a lake of fire, where the fire shall never be quenched and where their worm dieth not. And people will follow. And there's people today that are following Satan just like these Egyptians followed Pharaoh into the Red Sea. Now I want to say a little bit about Pharaoh, and then I'll try to get into the main thought if I can in the message today. But who they follow? Here it says that the Egyptians pursued after them. It says up before that that 600 chosen chariots and captains of those chariots and all of the chariots of Egypt followed after him. Said the people that they followed after him. But what about this man that they followed? A man by the name of Pharaoh, a king of Egypt. May I say that he had a great deal of power, had a great deal of authority over these people. And he reigned and ruled over them. And they followed him under his command. They, at his beck and call, they went and did what he commanded them to do. But what about this man? What can we learn about this man, Pharaoh? May I say to you, first of all, this morning, that he was a man that was deaf to the Word of God. Now, I can't imagine people following someone that is deaf to the Word of God. For the Bible said in the book of Exodus, chapter number 4, verse at number 22, the Bible said, "And thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, Thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn." And then he goes on to say in that next verse, "And I say unto thee, Let my son go, that he may serve me. If thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn." And you know what Pharaoh said? He said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice? And who is the Lord that I should let Israel go?" I want you to listen very carefully what I'm getting ready to read to you. "He heard the words fall from the lips of Moses and Aaron, but they made no distinct sound. He understood the words of man, but he failed to understand the words of God." And ladies and gentlemen, I'm afraid there are people today that are in that same boat that these people were in and that Pharaoh was in. They hear the words of the man of God, but they make absolutely no distinct sound to them. That is, there's nothing there to arouse and awaken their heart. Now, I say to you without any reservations whatsoever, that it takes the anointed power, the preaching of the man of God, and the power of the Holy Ghost to fall upon a man's heart, that it might be awakened to the Word of God, that he might hear more than just the words fall from the lips of a man, but he might hear the words proceed from the very heart of God that can open up his understanding and by grace deliver him from the power and the bondage he's in and save him by the marvelous grace of God. But here was a man that was deaf to the Word of God, and yet an entire nation followed him. And there, on the other hand, there was Moses speaking the Word of God, and they failed to follow him. I have never understood that in my life. While people even today will follow a man like they follow a person like the devil who is deaf to the Word of God. By the way, he is. He's going to hell. He is deaf to the Word of God. He was the anointed cherub. He was perfect in the eyes of God until iniquity was found in him. But he's not that perfect angel anymore. He has done his deaf to the Word of God. He is not going to listen to anything that God has to say. And yet people will follow what he has to say before they will follow what the Lord has to say. I'm going to tell you today, the reason they do that, men today will believe a lie before they'll believe the truth. Brother, I've never seen a generation like we're living in today that will believe a lie before they'll believe the truth. Somebody said, now, preacher, why is that? I'm going to tell you why it is. Because we're living in those last days. And Paul said that men in those last days, that God would send them strong delusion that they might believe a lie and be damned. And they will. They will believe that lie and they will be damned. And so Pharaoh here is deaf to the Word of God. Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. Boy, and I'm going to tell you something. If the devil's got his meat hooks in you this morning, come on now. If the devil has got his meat hooks in you this morning, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you what you better do. You better flee to Christ and lay hold upon Christ that you might be saved. He is our only hope. I'm going to tell you, as Moses had the power to break the bond that Pharaoh had on Israel, so has Christ got the same power to break the bond that Satan has on his people today. One of the greatest books that I've ever read in my life was by A.W. Tozier. I've got it over at the house. I took it out of my library. I didn't want to lose it. The title of it is Let My People Go. And it deals with a missionary. Deals with a missionary in the Philippines right before World War II. And he uses Israel as a subject in that. And Moses, as he cried out, let my people go. Now I'm going to tell you, the devil is not, I'll say this a dozen times more, he is not likely to let a man go easily. He did not let Israel go easily. It took all the plagues and all the power that God gave, that God had to bring Israel out of their bondage. But I'm going to tell you, ultimately, God came out victorious. Amen. And won the battle. Yes, sir. Right. And so here is a man. They followed a man that was deaf to the Word of God. Then I want to say, secondly, that they also followed a man who despised the Spirit of God. He despised the Spirit of God. Somebody said, what are you saying, preacher? Well, in the book of Hebrews in chapter number 10, and the Bible said there in verse number 28, said, he that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. How much sore punishment suppose ye shall be thought worthy who shall trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. Somebody said, preacher, now what are you saying? I'm saying that Pharaoh despised the grace of God. Hey, if you read through the account in the book of Exodus, you have to come up with the same conclusion that I have, that God showed all the grace that he could possibly show to Pharaoh. Plague after plague after plague after plague. And every time a plague would fall, Pharaoh would go to Moses and say, pray and ask God to stop the plague and I'll let Israel go. And every time that he promised to let him go, he reneged on that promise. And he would not let Israel go. I'm going to tell you something. Even when he came to the command, and the last time Moses saw him, he said, Pharaoh said, if you see my face again, you'll surely die. And old Moses said, you have said a truth there. Now I'm telling you, he not only despised the Spirit of grace, but he counted the blood of God's holy covenant an unholy thing. He, rather than listen to the man of God and place that blood on the doorpost of his house,
to spare his own firstborn child. He trampled under his feet the hallowed blood of the Son of God and brought death to his own household, ladies and gentlemen. I'm telling you, that's how wicked the devil is. He has trampled the blood of the Son of God under his feet. I'm going to tell you what bothers me more than that is people today that will hear the story of the grace of God, how Christ left heaven in all of its glory and came to earth that he might give his life on Calvary to save sinners and hear about the blood that was shed for the atonement of our sin. And yet they will trample under their feet the blood of the Son of God and do despise to the Spirit of grace and will follow a devil straight into the pit of hell rather than believe God and be saved. Better believe that's right. Better believe that's right. And so he despised the Spirit of God. The Lord was very patient with Pharaoh and offered grace even into the final plague, the death of the firstborn. And yet Pharaoh refused the grace of God and rejected the blood as a means of deliverance to safety. Refused it all the way. He was not only a man that was deaf to the Word of God, but he was a man that despised the Spirit of God. And then he was a man, thank God, that was defeated by the power of God. Oh, yes. A man would be a fool to try to stop Almighty God. I've said it so many times, it's trying to stop God be like trying to stop a freight train, friend. One man will never get it. I believe Brother Ricky is going to tell me about a fellow he read yesterday on the news that wanted to take a moving picture of a train. So he laid down on the railroad track with a camera to take the picture, and the train ran over him and killed him. He didn't stop that train. And you're not going to stop God. Neither was Pharaoh. The Bible, in fact, Paul said in Romans 9:17, he said, "For the Scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth." Amen. I want to ask them, why would people follow a defeated person? But they followed him. And you know, and I never noticed this until right now. That Scripture says, "For the Scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee." You know what I get out of that? I believe God spoke to Pharaoh those very words. "For this very purpose have I raised thee up." Paul didn't say you or him. Paul said, "For this very reason have I raised thee up, right, that I might show my power in thee." Now, I'm going to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. God did show his power in Pharaoh. Amen. Pharaoh done everything he could to hold Israel down, but I'm going to tell you something. They didn't have the power that our God has. Amen. Now, I'm telling you, God broke that power and brought Israel out. And they, when they started through that Red Sea and Pharaoh and that host went into that sea behind them, hallelujah to God, the waters closed in around them and they dried in the midst of the sea, but they drowned in the midst of the sea, but Israel went across on dry land and come out on the other side. I'm glad we serve a God today that's got the power to deliver. Amen. We got a God today that's got the power to deliver. And so, why would anybody want to follow a man that's defeated? I want to ask you something. If you're in here or by the radio today and you're lost and without God, why would you continue to follow the devil? He's a defeated foe. We're not waiting for him to be defeated. And I'm going to tell you, when Christ died on the cross, he bruised his head. When Christ died on the cross, the victory was won. Amen and amen. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Brother Steve hit the nail on the head this morning, but I got to thinking about it, and he didn't go far enough back. He got to talking about how in Israel, in Egypt, when God called his son out of Egypt, the son was still in the loins of one of those men in the land of Egypt, and he was calling his son out through those people out of Egypt. And the thought was that Jesus was led down to Egypt because Herod had every intention in the world of killing the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, and I got thinking about that. It didn't start right then, Brother Steve. I want to show you the power of our God and the wisdom of our God. In the very beginning, there was a man in the Bible by the name of Cain. And the Bible said that Cain rose up against his own brother, against Abel. And he slew Abel. And I'm going to tell you, Abel was to be the line, the lineage that Christ came through. But oh, the devil said, I know what I'll do. I'll just kill it. And that way I'll stop the lineage of Christ and I'll be rid of him forever. But he forgot one thing. The miracle of our God to bring a Seth into the world. Hallelujah. He brought a Seth into the world. Praise God. Brought that spiritual line right on in through Seth. What are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying our God has got enough power and wisdom to overcome Pharaoh any day of the week.
Amen.
And the devil likewise.
Amen.
And the devil likewise.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. I believe somebody's got things locked down a little today. I knew it was. I'd kick you in the seat of the britches. That's right. They don't need a locking down yacht. Now, they followed Pharaoh. That's the man they followed. But why? Why did they follow him? I've got 3 points under this also. I won't say number one, because they were blind to the gospel. They fought the same reason people follow the devil today. They're blind to the gospel. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:3, he said, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. And that word hid means to cover, to steal, or keep secret. Now I'm going to tell you, the devil has done everything that he can do to hide the gospel. He's done everything he can do to keep it secret. He wants to shut the mouth of every preacher. He wants to shut the mouth of every Christian. He wants to shut the mouth of anybody that's telling the story of Christ and the means by where they're telling it. He doesn't want gospel tracts passed out. He doesn't want you telling a stranger about God. He doesn't want somebody preaching. He doesn't want us on a radio station. I'm telling you, the devil is trying his best to shut the mouth of God that he might hide the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Instead of our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them, notice, which believe not. Then say blinded the minds of them which believe, but them which believe not. That word blinded means to fill with self-conceit and to be lifted up with pride. Now I'm going to tell you, that's the devil's plan today, buddy. Blinding people's mind by self-conceit. Getting self in the forefront rather than getting Christ out in the forefront where he ought to be. Now I'm going to tell you what that's called, humanism. That's called trying to be our own God. And man will never get the job done. But I'm telling you, if people listen to the devil, they'll do the same thing that Eve done when she was beguiled by the devil. They'll try to set themselves up as their own God. That's what humanists are telling us. They just make you a God.
Yeah.
All you have to have is a God. No, I'm going to tell you, who you have to have is the God.
Yeah.
And the God is the Lord Jesus Christ. And unless you have Him, you're not saved. You must be born again. They asked old B.R. Lake, why do you preach much on you must be born again? He said, because you must be born again.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, the devil, they followed him because they were blinded. The gospel had been hid to them and they were blinded by the power of Pharaoh. And they followed Pharaoh into their death, to their destruction, and their damnation when they went into the Red Sea. Amen. Well, I'm trying to help us out a little bit. He said, the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. I want to ask you something this morning. Have you had the light of the knowledge of His glory? I wonder, come on now. Has God given you the light of the knowledge of His glory? I'm satisfied very few Baptists today understand one thing about the glory of God. Amen. How magnificent He really is. About His splendor. His mighty wonders that He's done. How He created all things by His own words and upholds them. Everything that is by the word of His power. Sprinkled the stars into the sky. Set the sun and moon into place. Carved out the oceans with His hand. And made the rivers with His finger. That's our God. Then He came into the world as a servant. Came not to be ministered to, but to minister. And to give His life a ransom for many. I'm going to tell you, He is so glorious. When Isaiah saw Him in Isaiah 6, when he saw the Lord high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple, oh, Isaiah saw just how sorry and ungodly and how sinful he really was. Amen. That's why I know there's not much glory hanging around today. For I'm telling you, sinful man in the light of the glory of God will see himself exceedingly sinful. People today don't see themselves that way. Well, they can cuss and cavort and chew and dip and drink. Come on now.
Amen.
Amen. And consider themselves to be holy. I'm afraid in the light of the glory of God's glory, you're not going to see yourself that way.
Amen.
That's why in 1996 we had so much fessing up, so much puking her up. The glory of God settled in on this place. And men, we saw ourselves, ladies and gentlemen, as what we really are. Now I'm telling you, until man sees himself, even a saved man, sees himself as he really is, that man will have very little hope of advancing in the knowledge of Christ, in the wisdom of God. Oh, that's right. We're going to have to take our rightful position at the feet of Christ rather than exalt ourselves. We're going to have to exalt Him. Self-exaltation will get us nowhere. But we're going to have to exalt Christ, ladies and gentlemen. That is exactly right. Amen. That's right. The glory of the knowledge of His glory in the face of Jesus Christ. When was the last time you looked in His face? Oh, what are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying one glimpse of His wonderful face reveals all the glory of God. Now somebody said, how's that done? Don't ask me, ask Him when you get to heaven. Because I really don't know. But I do know what the Bible says. It says, in the face, in the face, the light in the face of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
What about that? That's right. One look at Him. Some of you young men around here, the first time you looked into your wife's face, your eyeballs just fluttered. I'm trying to get your attention. And yours just fluttered back. And then your little heart just started skipping a beat. And you thought, boy, I've seen the most beautiful thing in all the world. And I'm glad you saw it that way. If your wife ain't the most beautiful thing you've ever laid your eyes on, you got the wrong wife.
Right.
Amen. That's right. She better be. But I'm going to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. There's one whose beauty excels them all. And His name is Jesus, hallelujah. There is no comeliness or beauty about Him that He should be desired, what the Bible said. It's not talking about self-beauty as we look at it, but the beauty of the, I don't want to say scars, but the beauty of the wounds on His head from that crown of thorns, the beauty of His face as it was striped and beaten with a cat of nine tails. The beauty of His death upon the cross. Somebody said, there's nothing beautiful in death. Oh, I beg to differ with you. Death opens up the doorway to the glory of God. Now I'm telling you, we'll never behold all the glory of God until that day. We cross that threshold from this life unto that life. I mean, from this place into that place. We've already passed from death unto life. But we're going to have to pass from earth into heaven, hallelujah, to behold all the glory of God. And one day we will. One day we will. And so they followed him because they were blinded to the gospel. I want to say, secondly, they followed him because they were beguiled by his sorcerers. Somebody said, well, what do you mean? Well, in Exodus 7, verse number 10, the Bible said, Moses and Aaron went in unto Pharaoh. They did so as the Lord had commanded, and Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. Then Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers. Now the magicians of Egypt, they did in like manner with their enchantments. For they cast down every man his rod, they became serpents. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. And he hardened Pharaoh's heart, that he hardened not, hearkened not unto them. And the Lord said, Paul said in 2 Corinthians 11:3, but I fear lest by any means as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. So what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that those soldiers and servants of Pharaoh were beguiled by those sorcerers. Just like Eve was beguiled by the devil. And that word beguile means to seduce wholly. I'm going to tell you something. Those sorcerers had them people deceived.
Right.
I'm hunting for words, but I'm going to find them.
Amen.
Those sorcerers had those people deceived
right.
in believing that Pharaoh was the man.
Right.
For their little enchantments done the same thing that what Moses and Aaron did.
Right.
And I'm going to tell you, they had them deceived. By their sorceries. Had them deceived so much that when Pharaoh said, why have we let them go? He mounted up the church. There wasn't one voice. Not one person that said nay. But they were also deceived by the sorceries of those magicians that they followed Pharaoh. And I'm going to tell you, when they follow him, I'm going to show you how blinded they were and how deceived they were. When they came to the Red Sea, and that cloud stood up and went between them and Israel to let Israel pass, they were still so deceived that once the cloud was delivered from them, that they followed Pharaoh into that sea anyway.
Amen. Amen.
The Bible said, by faith, Israel crossed the Red Sea. But Egypt, the Egyptians that said to do the same thing, were overthrown and drowned into the sea. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Boy, I'm going to tell you, they followed the wrong man. They followed a fool into hell. You young people better listen to what I'm telling you today. There's people today that are following a fool into hell. Son, I'm telling you, the devil with his little sorcerers, I'm talking about he's got the tricks of the trade. Things out in the world that catch our eye. Fornication, lust, adultery. He's got his little sorcerers out there. Dope, cigarettes, may I say television, may I say too much internet, the things that are on. Come on into the bar, to the room, boys and girls. I'm talking about things that deceive people. Sorcerers, magicians. That'll boggle the mind of people.
Amen.
And they'll, you know what those Egyptian soldiers thought? Oh, there ain't nothing really going to happen. Now, we're going to make it right on the cross just like they did. They were so fooled by Pharaoh.
Right.
Oh, we'll make it. Pharaoh says we can make it, we'll make it.
Right.
But I'm going to say they followed a fool into hell.
Amen.
And there's people today that are following that same fool on his name as the devil. They're following him into hell.
Amen.
Because the sorcerers of this world have deceived them, amen, and have blinded them to the glorious gospel of Christ, and they're following him into hell.
Amen.
Boy, Folks, somebody's making it rough on Brother Hall today. But bless God, next time I get liberty, I'm going to make it rough on you. Payback's coming. Now, I won't say they were bound by His power. They were bound by His power.
Amen.
You don't have to turn there, but there's a woman in Luke chapter 13 that she came to the Lord Jesus, and she was a humpback woman. The Lord touched her on the Sabbath day and healed her, and she straightened up from her hunchback. And the ruler of the synagogue jumped on the Lord and said, there's 6 days. And I said, there's 6 days to heal, to do miracles, to work. Let them come and be healed on 6 days and not on the Sabbath day. But here's what the Lord said. And ought not this woman being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from the bond on the Sabbath day. Now I'm going to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. Those people were bound by the power of Pharaoh. Oh, yes. They were under his power and bound by his power, unable to escape. And unfortunately, they followed him into their death,
right,
into their destruction, and eventually into their damnation.
Amen.
As they followed him into the sea.
Amen.
I've got to go. I'm going to hurry and quit because we're not getting too far today, okay? Now, where they followed him? The Bible said on the verses preceding this that they followed him into the depths of the sea. And they did. Now, I've read in a lot of places where the sea represents people. And people represents the world. May I say first of all to you that Pharaoh, the devil, is leading people today into the world. People are being swallowed up by the world and worldly things. I'm telling you, Miss Hall and I, for the first time, Brother Cater, took our little commissary card and went on post last Friday. And went into the commissary to buy some groceries. Well, there was a woman in there, a female. I mean, that woman, she was exposed. And it seemed like every time we went up an aisle, she was coming down it. Every time we'd go up another aisle, she was coming down it. 6 times, I finally told Miss Hall, I said, that is 6 times that woman has come down the aisle to meeting us, flaunting what she's flaunting. I'm talking about out in the world.
Yeah. Right.
I'm talking about out in the world. I told my wife, I said, the next time, if that woman passes me one more time, I'm just going to walk over to her and say, honey, why don't you just show it all off and be done with it?
Amen.
That's what she was after anyway. You can say amen or oh me.
Right.
I'm telling you, there is a world full of temptations out there. Are you listening to me?
Yeah.
And Brother Pharaoh, they followed Pharaoh right into the depths of the world, as deep into the world. In fact, Egypt is a type of the world.
Right.
They followed him right into the world, just as far as they could go. And there's people out there today doing the same thing.
Amen.
God have mercy on men and women today.
Yes. Amen.
I read on the news yesterday where a woman in Florida bought a 38 caliber pistol,
yes, sir,
taking her 13-year-old boy to soccer practice and pulled out a 38 pistol and shot him twice in the head. Drove her vehicle home, walked in the house to her 17-year-old daughter, pulled out the same pistol and shot her twice in the face. Went out and sat down on the back porch, and when they carried her away, the paper said that she was looking up into the sky, starry-eyed and shaking her head, and was a-trembling and a-shaking all over. I said, that woman had a problem. I said, yeah, and I know what it was. I saw her face. I'm telling you, I know what it was. You have no idea, church, what we're facing in the world today.
Amen.
We are facing the power of the devil that is definitely possessing the souls of people.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
And he's doing all he can to destroy them. And he is destroying them. He's leading them into the world and unfortunately into the sea of death where they are dying, go to hell without God and without hope.
Amen.
And they're so blind and so deceived.
Amen.
They're following the power of a person by the name of Satan.
Amen.
Lucifer, the son of the morning. the serpent, the devil, that was so beautiful to look upon, that he deceived Eve just like that. Somebody said, oh, he can't get me. I wouldn't want to put money on it if I was you. May I say this, and I just thought of this, Brother Andy. There's only one thing. There's only one thing that's keeping you from charging into that Red Sea and dying right now. And that's that pillar of smoke that God has between you and it.
Amen.
That's all, ladies and gentlemen. That's all. If you're lost today and God lifts that pillar,
Amen.
You're going to hell if you're not saved.
Amen.
Israel was already crossing it. Israel was already crossing it. And those Egyptians, the Bible said, Paul said about Demas, 2 Timothy 4:10, he said, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. I'm going to tell you, people are loving it today, and it's because Satan's got them mesmerized in believing that it can't happen to me. You know, that's what we think about everything. Well, I can't. I'll never have an automobile accident. I found out one day I did. Oh, if things happen, that'll never happen to any of my children. And maybe I'm sure that's what a lot of people thought. But they thought wrong. Death will never come to my family. They thought wrong. It's a problem in America today. In our churches. It can't happen to us. If they made it, we'll make it. But they made it and they didn't make it. And the difference was Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Hallelujah. I'm going to say that again. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Bless His holy name, thank God. I'm glad He delivered me from the power of sin and Satan and society, angered His heart and my soul, and has carried me to glory by the grace of God. Yes, sir. He anchored His heart in my soul. I found a little old book Sister Woodard at Jordan made for me for Christmas in 2005. It's been lost. I found it the other day. She wrote, had little pictures in it. She had all kinds of little things in it. She had me had sitting there and showed her holding on to my fingers for the little baby over when they lived on Noel Avenue. She wrote something like this under it, had something written like this under it. She said, the first time you held me, and I looked into your eyes, said your heart dropped into mine, and I've loved you ever since. And I thought, oh my. I remember that day when Jesus took my hand, and His heart fell into mine. Hallelujah to God. Wow, what a difference it makes. Thank God, I'm glad His heart fell into mine. Amen. Turn me around.
Amen.
Change my life.
Amen.
By the grace of God.
Amen.
Now they not only followed Him. They not only followed Him into the depths of the sea. But they followed Him into destruction of life. Their dead bodies washed upon the seashore. And their life was destroyed. You know what? I want to illustrate that again by Cain. You realize how much Cain destroyed his own life? Once he killed his own brother, God said, you'll go. And said, it'll be a curse on you all the days of your life. Said, what you plant won't grow. Said, you'll be a vagabond in the earth. And he said, you've laid more on me than what I can bear. But the life that he knew at home with his parents, he destroyed that life. And there's a whole lot of people today that have let the devil destroy their life. Young people, you listen to what Brother Hall's telling you. Don't you let the Satan destroy your life.
Amen.
And he can do it. That's right. He can hook you on booze and dope. He can hook you. Amen. He can hook you on just about anything out in the world he wants to. Get you following after a dress. You young men, skirt chasing. You young women flattering your eyes like that woman in the book of Proverbs, that strange woman. I'm telling you there, he's got a way about him. That he can destroy your life. And it's been meaningless. Meaningless. My life was that way till Jesus passed by. I didn't have a life. But he said, I've come that you might have life. And that you might have it more abundantly. I thought I had a life, but I realized when Jesus passed by, I didn't have a life. But he had a life to give. Hallelujah. And I learned there wasn't no end to it. Some of you are going to throw rocks at me, but also learned there hadn't been no beginning to it. Amen! Now you may not like that, but he said, I give unto them eternal life. And friend, the word eternal has no beginning and it has no end. For in the mind of God, I have... Hey, come on in the house, boys and girls! Woo! Hallelujah! I don't care what they call me as long as Miss Hall calls me 3 times a day. Let them refute John 3, 16 and 17.
Right.
Let them refute it.
Right, yes, sir.
I dare anybody to refute it.
Amen.
The word eternal is there. And I doubt anybody to refute it.
Amen.
In the mind of God. Not in mine, but in God's mind.
Amen.
If you think it shocked him when you got in, you're nuts. Now it may have shocked you a little bit to know that you had everlasting life. But it didn't shock God to know that you had eternal life. I'm getting in a deeper hole now. But don't let the devil destroy your life. You young people, I'm telling you, lay hold of Christ. Live for God.
Amen.
Give your heart to Him today. If you're already saved, put you all on the altar.
Amen.
Don't follow the devil. Don't follow Pharaoh. The Pharaoh is blinded and Pharaoh despises the grace of God. He is everything that God is not, ladies and gentlemen.
Amen.
He's contrary to everything that God is. Then I want to say not only they follow Him to the depths of the sea and destruction of life. They followed Him to the damnation of their soul. When their bodies washed upon the sea, and Israel sang that new song, and their bodies washed upon the seashore, Pharaoh and his host. And they looked at all those dead bodies laying upon the sea. There was a body laying there, but there was one problem. The soul had departed. Like Rachel, the Bible said, when her soul was in departing, their soul had departed. But the sadness of the story is that that soul departed. It didn't descend upward. It descended downward into the pit of hell. To the damnation of their soul. Eternally damned. He that believeth the Son is condemned already. And who that believeth not the Son is condemned already. Condemnation. Already damned. When that water hit them, that soul departed that instant. Can you hear what I'm saying? Faster than that, they were in hell. Faster than that, they were in hell. I wonder how they felt when those water, when that water and those walls begin to close in behind them. I really believe how it happened, it was opened all the way. When they got in, it closed up on the rear first. It started closed. And I'm sure the ones in the front looked back and saw what was taking place. And fear filled their hearts. Now I'm telling you, die on your deathbed without Christ. Friend, you may brag and boast now, but I'm telling you, fear will fill your heart. Not knowing what lies beyond death for you. Into the realms of darkness you shall descend. Into a lake of fire you shall go. Into hell. So I said, you ought to preach that way, preacher. You ought to.
Amen.
I'm telling you, people need to wake up today. Brother Joel, my heart started to go out to people. I'm telling you, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God like you did.
Amen.
God, help people today. God, help people today. To see who they're following. They had two choices. And by the way, Egypt had the same choice. That's what Israel did, to put that blood on the doorpost of their house. They had the same opportunity. And you would have thought when the firstborn in every household died, their eyes would have opened up and they'd say, hey, this man. In fact, some of his servants at one time said, hey, why don't you let them go? Don't you realize Egypt is destroyed? He wouldn't let them go. And I'm going to tell you, the longer you tarry, the deeper meat hooks are the devil gets into you. And I'm going to tell you, don't you ever think Christ ain't got power to break it. You may think he'll never turn loose. Satan will never turn loose, but he'll turn loose. You stay with God, and I'm telling you, he'll turn loose. He'll have no choice but to turn loose. At the words of God, the command of Christ, he'll have no alternative but to turn loose and let go. I beg you this morning, if you're here lost, don't follow a fool into hell. Pharaoh was an absolute fool. Folly was in his heart when he thought for one second he could outwit God or overpower God. Cannot be done, ladies and gentlemen. Not then and not now. Let's stand together.